What you're about to hear is a sermon entitled Encouraging Words for Troublesome Times by Dr. Curtis Hudson. This sermon was recorded Sunday morning, December 5th, 1971, at Forest Hills Baptist Church in Decatur, Georgia. And now, here's Dr. Curtis Hudson.
Let's open our Bible this morning to the 27th chapter of the book of Acts. And I want to read several verses beginning with verse 10. And said unto them, Sirs, I perceive that this voyage will be with much hurt and much damage, not only of the lading and ship, but also of our lives. Nevertheless, the centurion believed the master and the owner of the ship more than those things which were spoken by Paul. And because the haven was not commodious to winter in, the more part advised to depart thence, if by any means they might attain to Phoenice, and there to winter, which is in a haven of Crete, and lieth toward the southwest and northwest. And when the south wind blew softly, supposing that they had obtained their purpose, loosing thence, they sailed close by Crete. But not long after, there arose against it a tempestuous wind called Euroclydon. And when the ship was caught, they could not bear up into the wind. We let her drive. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to cumber the boat, which, when they had taken up, they used helps, undergirding the ship, and fearing lest they should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest, the next day they lightened the ship. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. And when neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was then taken away. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, Sirs, ye should have hearkened to me, and not have loosed from Crete, and to have gained this harm and loss. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall no loss of any man's life be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, Fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. And lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. The Bible is filled with many great statements. This week I was reading and I came across this verse in Acts chapter 27. It's the last verse I read, verse 25. And Paul's statement to the sailors on this ship arrested my attention. I want us to look at it together very carefully. It's verse 25. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. Now, I did not read the entire chapter, but I suggest that you read the entire chapter to get the picture. The Apostle Paul was a prisoner. There were other prisoners, according to verse 1. And they had been delivered unto a centurion named Julius. They were being carried to Rome. Which reminds me, in Romans chapter 1, in writing to the people at Rome, Paul said that I have prayed and asked God that if by any means, now at length, he may give me a prosperous journey to come unto you. And in Acts 27, God is answering Paul's prayer. He's giving him a prosperous journey to go to Rome. I'm sure it wasn't answered exactly like Paul expected it to be answered. But nevertheless, God answered his prayer, which is a good lesson for us. God may not always answer your prayer exactly the way you think it ought to be answered, but if he answers your prayer, be thankful that he does. an old precious lady who prayed for the healing of her body. And great people prayed also for the healing of this precious lady. It never came. And the doctor said, I can correct your problem with an operation. And she was hesitant to have the operation. And she asked me about it. I said, yes, trust God. Put your faith in God. Maybe God wants to heal you this particular way. And if so, I wouldn't object if I were you. And she went ahead and had the operation. She is now serving the Lord and doing wonderfully. God answered Paul's prayer. Paul prayed for a prosperous journey to go to Rome. But he didn't go aboard a luxury liner. He went instead as a prisoner on a ship and had a lot of trouble before he ever got to Rome. Now the centurion Julius took his prisoners and boarded the ship. And the wind began to blow and trouble came. And it looked like the sailing was going to be too rough. And so they stopped the ship at a place called Fair Havens. And while they were stopped, Paul gave them some words of advice. He said to them in verse 10, I perceive that this voyage will be of much hurt, not only to the lading and to the ship, but to our lives also. It's going to be dangerous to go ahead. But the Bible says that the centurion believed the master and owner of the ship more than he believed Paul. And after some time, docked at this particular place, verse 13 says that the south winds began to blow softly. Everything looked good. And they supposed that they had obtained their purpose. The storm has passed by now, we'll sail. So they sailed against the advice of Paul. And they were not long out until a tempestuous wind came. Euroclydon. And it was as Paul had predicted it was going to be. And the sailing was rough. So rough that the Bible says they let her drive. That is, they just let the sails down and let the ship drift. But it got worse. And then they undergirded the ship. I would think that what this means is they began to tie ropes and anything they could find around the ship to hold it together. It was coming apart. They undergirded the ship. And it continued to get worse, and they cast the load overboard. There was nothing left. And during this time, Paul had gotten alone somewhere. And the Bible says, after long abstinence, after Paul had been gone a good while, he came back on the scene again. Evidently, Paul had been praying and asking God what to do, because he had already prayed for a prosperous journey to go to Rome, and God answered Paul's prayer. And Paul appeared, and he said to them, Sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. In the night, God had sent a special messenger to Paul, an angel. And the angel had said, here's God's message. The ship's going to be lost, but I'm going to give you not only your life, but the lives of all those that sail with you. And not only that, but he went on to say, not a hair of your heads are going to perish. You're going to make it all right. You know, it's wonderful how the presence of a brave man in the hour of trouble comforts the heart of his companions. I read the story of Robert E. Lee. Many stories concerning this great man. But he had turned down, after the Civil War, a great offer of $50,000 a year to work up north, and instead he wanted to stay with his people. He took a job in a school, and my understanding was he'd make less than $2,000 a year, somewhere around that figure. And the little school got in trouble, and he met with the board of the school. Something like we meet with our deacon board here and discuss things we need to do and problems we face. And it looked like the school was going under because they needed financial help and couldn't get it. And after they had wrung their hands and discussed the problem, and the hour was growing late, Robert E. Lee said, let's go home and go to bed. He said, I'll take care of the whole thing in the morning. And the entire board went home, went to bed and rested that night comfortably without fear, because one courageous man had spoken, everything will be all right in the morning. I remember occasions in my own life with my father when I would be afraid and it looked like, you know, things are going against us. And my father could collect himself and say, son, don't worry about it. Said, everything's going to be all right. And what a comfort and encouragement that was to me. And I know you've experienced this same thing in your life at one time or other. Even in this church, when trials have come, I've had good, strong Christians come to me and say, Pastor, we're for you and we're praying for you. And we believe God's going to do something. And man, I'd go home and sleep good, because there was a good, strong person here. And their words and their presence was an encouragement in the time of trouble. Say, I want to speak on that subject, encouraging words in troublesome times. And that's what you have here. It must have been great to have held Paul in this particular hour. History says he was only 4'6" tall, something like that. A little bitty fella. You wouldn't think it from the way he wrote. Unless you were to read some of the passages, it says his bodily appearance was not much. And his words were not much. His letters are weighty, it says. But when he stands up to preach, it's not very much. And his bodily presence is not much. He's not so impressive. He can write great letters, but that's all we can say about him. Must have been something. After warning these men against sailing, and then having to come back in the midst of the storm when they were all afraid and say, all right, sirs, be of good courage, be of good cheer. I believe God. Here was a strong man. Now, I think that God wants every Christian to be this one courageous man in a day of trouble. I think that every one of us in this building who are born again believers ought to be this one courageous man in a day of trouble, who can say to those who are trembling around us and who are afraid, fear not, be of good cheer, I believe God. I'm believing God. Don't worry about anything. Everything's going to be all right. It's a bad thing when those who claim to believe God are themselves trembling. I could imagine Paul going before these sailors and his hands are trembling and he's about to have a nervous breakdown, and he said, sirs, he said, be of good cheer. And they'd say, be of good cheer yourself, buddy, before you encourage us. The man who encourages the others is the man who himself is strong. And Paul was, in this case, a very strong man. Now, why was Paul strong? Very simple answer to that, because he believed. Fear not, sirs, for I believe. That is, I have faith, I have confidence, I believe. Faith always strengthens a man. When man has real faith, it always strengthens him. You read in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, all the great things that was done by faith. Noah, being forewarned of God, moved by fear, and in faith he built an ark to the saving of his house. Jephthah, by faith, offered up his daughter after he had made such a vow to God. And Rahab the harlot by faith. And you read the entire chapter, the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and you have 19 victories or more that men wrought by faith. Great exploits were done because men had faith. Faith. But notice that Paul's faith was in God. I had a lady tell me once, Brother Curtis, I have great faith. And I said, that's good. But what do you have great faith in? And she didn't know what I meant. You have great faith? Yes. But what's your faith in? Notice what Paul said, "Fear not, sirs, for I believe God." Now you'll notice that it does not say, "I believe in God." There's a big difference. The world is filled with people who believe in God, but they're still afraid. They're still trembling. They still lack courage. Because to believe in God does not bring strength. But to believe God does bring strength and courage. There's a difference. The atheist is the man who says, "I don't believe there is a God. No God for me." That's the atheist. There's a difference between the atheist and the infidel. The infidel believes there is a God, but he doesn't believe God. "I know that there is a God, but I don't believe him. I don't believe he meant what he said in this particular passage. Or I don't believe what he meant in this, or said what he meant what he said in this particular passage." There's a difference. In this room this morning, you are Christians, many of you, most of you. And if I were to say, "How many of you believe in God?" hands would go up all over the building. But if I were to say, "How many of you believe God?" it would be a different answer. And you know, I think this is one of the greatest statements in the Word of God. "Sirs, I believe God. I have my confidence in Him. I believe Him. Sirs, be of good cheer." And believe in God, he believed the message that God had sent. God had sent a message to Paul that night by way of an angel. And the angel had said, "Everything's going to be all right. Now the ship's going to be lost. But not one life will be lost, nor not one hair on the head of any of the travelers will be lost. You'll all be safe." And Paul came out, wasn't nervous, full confidence. He said, "Cheer up, boys. I believe God. I have heard the message. God's told me something, and I believe Him." You know, in this day of trouble, when so many things seemingly are going wrong, and our country seems to be turned in the wrong direction many times, and I'm not an expert, but it troubles me that the United Nations would vote in Communist China and oust Free China. That troubles me. A Christian nation now being turned over into the hands of a communistic, atheistic nation. That troubles me. That bothers me. And if I did not believe God, I'd be worried this morning. If I did not believe God, I'd be nervous and upset. I've read some books about the communist takeover of America and their plans. And when you read their plans and then observe the news of the hour, and you see their plans are being fulfilled on target year after year after year, I would almost go home, be afraid to go to sleep, except I believe God. You see, in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel prophesied 2,500 years of history before it ever took place. And Daniel, living in the days of the Babylonian Empire, prophesied the fall of the Babylonian Empire and the rise of the Medo-Persian Empire. And then he prophesied the fall of the Medo-Persian Empire and the rise of the Grecian Empire. And then he prophesied the fall of the Grecian Empire and the rise of the Roman Empire. And then he prophesied the division of the Roman Empire. And all you have to do is go back in history, and you'll find out that Daniel was right in everything that he said. He didn't miss it. Anywhere along the line, in 2,500 years, he didn't miss. And then Daniel predicted the rise of a final world empire made up of 10 kingdoms, represented by the 10 toes. You also have the same prophecy in Daniel chapter 7, same thing as Daniel chapter 2, except Daniel chapter 2 is man's view of world empires, and Daniel chapter 7 is God's view of the same world empires. And you see, it looks like communism is going to take the world over. But I believe God. I believe God, and I know that there's no fear of communism taking the world over, though it looks like it is many times. Now, wait a minute. I'm not saying we're not to combat it. I hope you don't misunderstand me. I'm saying, yes, let's combat communism. Let's expose it. Let's let Christians know what's going on. But at the same time, don't have a nervous breakdown, because God did not make a place in Daniel's image for a world empire of communism. And if one fits in between the legs and the toes, he's going to have extension between the ankles and feet somewhere to get communism in. It's bad. Sure, it's bad. It's getting worse. Sure, it's getting worse. And I'm all for combating communism, but I'm saying this. If I did not believe God, I'd have a nervous breakdown before in the morning, but I believe God. Paul said, God's given me a message, and I believe Him. You know, he felt certain that what God had promised, God would do. In the face of the adversary, in the face of danger, in the face of what looked like a hopeless situation, they had already undergirded the ship and tied it up with ropes, and still the planks were coming apart, and the ship was taking in water and going down. They had let the sails down. They had thrown all the load overboard, and it continued to get worse and worse and worse. And yet, in the face of all this, Paul said, "Cheer up, because God's told me something." God's told me something. And you know, in the face of everything that's happening in the world today, I can say to you as a church, cheer up. I believe God. God. You know, it's wonderful when you read the last chapter of the book. I think it was Vance Havner who said, if I hadn't read the last chapter, I would be worried. And then he told about when he was a young man, how he used to read Western novels and novels of various kind. And he said that I'd be reading in chapter 1, chapter 2, and on through the book. He said it looked like the villain was going to get the hero. And it looked like the villain in the next chapter was going to get the hero. And he said I'd get all nervous and go to bite my fingers. He said I couldn't stand it any longer. And I'd turn over the last chapter of the book to see how the hero was going to make out. And he said in the last chapter of the book, I'd find the hero coming out triumphant. And he said, then I'd turn back and I'd read the third chapter. And when it looked like the villain was about to get the hero, I'd laugh and say, ha, 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 I've read the last chapter. And you read chapter 4 and it looked like the villain was going to get the hero. And he'd laugh and say, yeah, but I've read the last chapter. And you know, if I hadn't read the last chapter, I'd be worried about things. But I've read the last chapter. And the last chapter says, I saw an angel come down from heaven having the key to the bottomless pit. And he laid a hold on that old dragon, the serpent, which is the devil. And he bound him for 1,000 years. And the last chapter says that we shall be priests of God and we shall reign with him 1,000 years. And the last chapter says there'll be a new heaven and a new earth wherein dwelleth righteousness, and there'll be no more sorrow, and there'll be no more pain, and there'll be no more tears, and there'll be no more death, and God will reign with us and dwell with us, and we'll be His people, and He'll be our God. I've read the last chapter, and I'm not worried about what's going to happen. And the reason you're worried is, you don't believe God. And the reason some of you don't believe God is you've never taken time to get the Word from Him. Romans 10:17 says, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. And when you get the Word from God, and God says a certain thing, then you can stand on what God says. Numbers 23:19, the Bible said, God is not a man that He should lie, neither the son of man that He should repent or change His mind. Hath He said, and shall He not do it? Or hath He spoken, and shall He not make it good? That's a tremendous verse. Has He said, then He'll do it. Has He spoken, He'll make it good. I believe God. And then something else about Paul's faith. He not only believed and believed God and believed the message from God, but he was not ashamed to tell it. Strange how some people are ashamed. They're afraid they'll put themselves out on a limb. You know, I believe God, but I'm afraid to tell it because Satan whispers in the ear and says, what if it doesn't happen? Well, if it doesn't happen, you're not going to be the one that's going to be embarrassed. It's going to be God. You didn't say it. God said it. I've tried to lead men to salvation. And I'd say, now, will you put your faith in Christ? Here Jesus said, he that believeth hath everlasting life. Do you see that? Yes. Do you believe that's God's word? Yes. Do you believe if you put your faith in Christ, you'd have everlasting life? Well, I hope I would. Will you trust him now as your Savior? Yes. Will you pray and tell him you'll trust him? Yes. Well, let's pray. Dear Lord Jesus, I do trust you. I do believe you died for me. And today I completely depend on you for my salvation. Help me to be a good Christian and to live for you. Amen. Now you've trusted him, haven't you? Yes. Now, do you have everlasting life? I hope I have. He doesn't believe God. Oh, he says he does, but he doesn't believe God. If he believed God, he'd raise his head and say, hallelujah, I have everlasting life. Or praise the Lord, I have everlasting life. Why? Why do I know I have it? I believe God. Why do I know I'm going to heaven? Why? Why am I not afraid to die? Because I believe God. Why am I not afraid to tell men to put their faith in Jesus? Because I believe God. Why is it that Sunday after Sunday I stand here and say, if you'll come and give us 5 minutes of your time, I'll guarantee you that you can know you're going to heaven. Why do I say that? I may get embarrassed. Somebody may prove me wrong. Why do I say it? Because I believe God. And if I can get a man to put his confidence in Jesus, and he'll believe God, he'll have the assurance of salvation like I have the assurance of salvation. I believe God. And he wasn't ashamed to tell it. If your confidence is in Jesus and you believe him, and he said if you trust you had everlasting life, why say I hope I have it? Why look up in the face of God and say I sure hope you meant what you said. If you meant it, I have everlasting life. Man, I hope I make it. Why say that if you believe God? If you believe God, why not come out like Paul and say, be of good cheer? Oh, you say, but my life sometimes doesn't look like a Christian. So what? You're not going to heaven by the way you live. If you did, Peter would have went to hell. Noah would have went to hell. Lot would have went to hell. Paul would have went to hell. And the whole lot would have went to hell. None of them lived good enough to go to heaven. And just in case you think you didn't either. Because Isaiah 64:6 says, all your righteousnesses are as filthy rags. And if you bring your righteousness to God as your hope of salvation, you're going to hell. Trusting in your good works. Lord, we've done many mighty wonderful works. Depart from me. I never knew you. You worked iniquity. That's what your works were. I believe God. He wasn't ashamed to tell it. He said that too when there was nothing else to put his confidence in. The ship was breaking up. The storm was sweeping fiercely. But Paul calmly said, be of good cheer. Paul, are you all right? Slap him, fella. You mean you're not afraid? No. Why aren't you afraid? I believe God. Psalm 62, verse 5, a blessed verse. My soul, wait thou only upon God, for my expectation is from him. Huh? Wait thou only upon God. Why? My expectation is from him. And if you have your faith in God, and somebody says to you, do you know if you died today you'd go to heaven? Don't say, I hope so. If you believe God, God said, he that believeth hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. If God said that you believe God and somebody asked you, you're going to heaven, you said, you better believe him. Am I going to heaven? Man, I'm just as sure to go to heaven as I am that I'm standing on this platform. I know I'm going beyond all doubt. It's settled forever. I know it. Why? I believe God. That's why. God is true. And I'll stake everything on his word. By the way, I was reading Isaiah 53 to a Jewish friend one day. And every time he'd say something, I'd say, the Bible says. I'd show him a verse out of the Bible. The Bible says. The Bible says. And after a while, it began to irritate him. And he said, yeah, the Bible says. The Bible says. That's all you say. The Bible says. He said, that bothers me. He said, what if the Bible's wrong?
I said, if the Bible's wrong, I'm a cooked goose. Because I have staked everything I am and all I ever hoped to be, my eternity, my life, my income, and everything, I've staked it on the Bible. If it's wrong, I'm gone. I left the post office, not because the church promised to take care of me, but because God promised to take care of me. The deacons didn't come to me and said, now, we'd like you to go full-time at the church and we'll give you $175 a week. Maybe you can live off of that. They didn't say that. But God come to me and said in Philippians 4:19, my God shall supply all your needs according to His riches and glory. And I believed God. And I resigned, left the post office, and He sure has done a good job of it. If I had to do over, I'd do it again. I believed God. Wasn't worried. Some other folks were worried. What'll we do? It's going to be awful embarrassing to have to go back up and ask for your job back. Ooh. And the devil would get on my shoulder and whisper in my ear, and he said, what you going to do whenever you have to go back and ask for your job back? I said, I ain't going back. I meant, I'm not going back. Ain't sound stronger. But what if? What if? I'd have still been up there working, delivering mail on City Route 41. This church would have still been on Alcove Drive in a shotgun building if I hadn't believed God. But I believed Him. Somebody said, so my preacher friend said, listen, that's new doctrine you're preaching. Some said it's Jehovah's Witness doctrine. That showed they didn't know anything about the Bible. Of course, I am a Jehovah's Witness. A real one. I've got a Baptist head and a Pentecostal heart and Jehovah's Witness feet. You'll never make it. And that preaching you're doing, there's not a preaching association preaching that. That's all right. I believe God. God said it. I'll preach it. If it doesn't work, that's God's fault, not mine. And if God's wrong, I don't want to serve Him anyway. And I'm anxious to find out whether He's right or wrong, whether I can get in or get out. And as soon as I find out He's wrong, I'm going to burn my Bible and encourage everybody else to burn theirs and tell everybody there is no God. God saw a minute. He said, hey, He believes me. I got to take care of Him. I believe God, Paul said. Don't be ashamed to say it. I go sometimes and speak to little groups of churches. And I'll tell them this. If you'll do what I tell you, I promise you that you can build a great soul-winning church. I wouldn't say that if I didn't believe God. But God said, he that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And I believe God. And if I can get a crowd to do that, they're going to have a lot of folks saved. And the reason they're not having a lot of folks saved is they're not doing that. You say, we're praying for folks to get saved. Yeah, but I don't find a verse in the Bible that said pray for folks to get saved. I find verses that says pray that the Lord will thrust forth some laborers to go get those folks that are not saved. But I don't find them praying, Lord, would you please send the storm and let it blow in the direction of our barn and fill our barn full of wheat? That's not in it. No, he said, pray for the Lord to send some laborers out. You go get them. You go get them. And being strong because of his faith in God, Paul could cheer others. And you know, to believe God yourself is the main point. Because you're not going to lead another fellow to believe him if you don't believe him. You're trying to lead somebody else to salvation, and you say, if you call on the name of the Lord, he'll save you. Well, what about you? Are you saved? Well, I think I'm saved. Well, you may as well get out of soul winning business. Unless you believe God yourself, unless you have assurance of your own salvation, you're not going to be able to help the other fellow. But Paul's confidence in God was able, made him able to encourage the others. And I thought of so many things. Paul said, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer. The seeking sinner comes along and he wants to be saved. And he says, but I've lived so bad and my life is Oh, you just don't know. And my sins are so black. And my heart is saddened because of my sins. And I always feel like saying, and my heart is gladdened because your heart is saddened. Because he's the only fellow God can really help. Fellow comes along, wants to be saved, seeking Christ. Can you encourage him? Oh, yes, I can. Matthew 7, verse 7, and he that seeketh findeth. I believe God. If you seek him, you'll find him. Somebody said, but what about me? I'm praying. And no answer seems to come. I have some words for you too. He that asketh receiveth. I believe God. I can encourage the fellow. You know, it's great when you can take the Bible in any situation, whether it be people who are bereaved or people who are seeking an answer to prayer or people who are seeking salvation or people who are seeking assurance. I don't care what it is. It's great to take the Bible and say, I believe God, and in turn in the Bible where God said something in connection with what problem, the problem they're facing. I can stand before a family who has to say goodbye to a loved one. And if that loved one's a Christian, I can say, I believe God. And God has promised to come, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them. There's going to be a reunion. They say, are you sure? I believe God. Tear up. Wipe away the tears. Walk away from the cemetery with a song in your heart, because I believe God. And the fellow who doesn't believe God has no hope at all. And those who want to trust him as Savior. I've had people say to me, oh, I wish I could trust him. I wish I could. Brother Curtis, if I had your faith, if I could trust him, I'd give the world if I could do it. And I'm glad that I could open the Bible and say, be of good cheer. You can trust him. It's not a matter of whether or not you can, it's a matter of whether or not you will. John 5:40 says, you will not come to me. It's not that you cannot, it's you will not. It's not a problem whether you're able to, it's a problem where you're willing to. Wilt thou trust this man? Whosoever will, let him come and take the water of life. For it's a matter of your will. Will you trust him? Will you come to him as a poor, lost, helpless sinner and say, yes, yes, I'm dying. My hopes are all gone, and it looks like hell for certain. I have no other hopes. I will trust him. If you'll do it, I've got good news for you. He'll give you everlasting life. I have good words of cheer for you, those who want to trust him. I've had at least two men come to my office. Bless their darling hearts. And their condition was a condition that I face often. And he came in and said, now I came forward in the services. And somebody took the Bible and showed me how to be saved, and I trusted Jesus. And at that minute, when I left the church, I knew I was saved. But I'll be honest, Brother Curtis, I'm not sure now that I'm saved. I said, how did you know you were saved that morning? Well, he showed me John 5:24, where it said, he that believeth hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. Well, I said, let's see if that's still in the Bible. So we turned back. And it says the same thing it said that morning you come forward. Let's turn to Matthew 13, 31. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my word shall not pass away. It's going to be the same tomorrow and day after tomorrow and day after that. I just want to ask you one question. Are you trusting him to get you to heaven or not? He said, I'm trusting you. Oh, I don't know who I am or not. I said, if you don't know whether you are or not, tell him now you don't know whether you are or not, but you're going to do it now. He'd pray and say, dear Lord Jesus, I thought I trusted you. But the devil's made me doubt that I did trust you. But just in case I wasn't trusting you, I want to trust you this morning. I'm depending on you. Lord, I'll go to hell without you. I'm depending on you. He'd leave the office just as happy as he could be. Where are you going? Heaven! You sure you're saved? Yes, positive I'm saved! 6 weeks later, come back in, face long. I got some more problems. I got the same answer. God still said what he said 5 weeks ago and 10 weeks ago. I've had fellows come back much as 6, 7, or 8 times. And every time they come, the time between their visits would get a little longer and a little longer. And finally, they just disappeared, never came back to the office, that is. I have a fellow who comes to see me about once a year, at least once a year. He's not even a member here. Once a year, about the same time of year, he'll show up. If the office opened, he just walks right in. And I said, glad to see you. Have a seat. He said, I want you to talk with me. Yeah. He said, you really believe that stuff you preach? I said, I do. He said, man. He said, you really believe? He said, tell me about it again. Huh? Go all the whole plan of salvation again. He that believeth hath everlasting life. I know I have everlasting life because I know I'm depending on him to get me to heaven. And he said, if I do that, I had everlasting life. He that believeth is not condemned. He that believeth hath everlasting life. He that believeth shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. He that believeth is justified. He that believeth will never come into condemnation. And I just poured on him over and over and over. And his facial expression began to change. He said, you really believe that, don't you? I said, yeah. You mean to tell me that's all you're doing to get to heaven? Yeah. You're not trusting your preaching? I said, oh, no, no. You're not trusting your good life? No, no. You're just trusting what he did at the cross to get you to heaven, and you're depending on that, and that's all I'm trusting. He said, you really believe that, don't you? I said, yeah. He said, you really think you're going to heaven? I said, I don't think it. I know it. No thinking. It's no-so stuff. I know it. He said, well, thank you. I said, by the way, where are you going? He said, I'm going to heaven. I'm positive. I know it. I'm positive. A year later, he comes back. Every year he comes. Sets in the same chair. I'll go with the same thing. And I just get up like Paul did and said, be of good cheer. Don't be afraid. I believe God. Yeah. He said, you sure act like it. You don't look like you're worried. Good, he said. I won't worry either. I'm trusting him too. See you later. Next year, he comes back again. I believe God. Happens. Those vexed with temptation. Looks like everything's going wrong. And when troubles come, and you don't understand it. Philippians 1:6 says, he which hath begun a good work in you will perform it unto the day of Jesus Christ. The word perform it means finish it. Something happens in my life. Bang. I don't know what happened. Lord, why did that happen? But I read Philippians 1:6. He that started the good work will keep on working on you and keep on working on you until he makes you everything that he wants you to be. And you won't be all that he wants you to be till Jesus comes. I say, work on, Lord, and be thorough. Send anything you want because you're working on me. Wouldn't it be a bad thing if an artist was painting a picture and you hung the picture up here and he's about halfway through? And he had an old rough-looking frame, and he just throwed paint here and paint there and paint there, and you walk in and you say, man, you're making a mess! He'd say, I'm not through yet. Don't judge it till I'm through with it. And he just rubs paint everywhere, and you say, that frame looks awful, but he knows what kind of painting he's putting within that frame, and that frame will add to the beauty of the picture, because he knows that the picture's going to be an old rough country scene, and the frame will add to it. That's why he gave you the frame you got. Because the picture he's trying to paint in your life will perfectly match the frame he's given you. If you got a long nose, thank God for it. If you got big ears, thank God for them. If you got ugly teeth, thank God for them. That may means he wants you to keep your mouth shut a lot. Lord, in Christianity, there's so many divisions. You have the fundamentalists dividing, and you have the modernists dividing, and the modernists agreeing with the fundamentalists, and the Southern Baptists are trying to copy the independents. Lord, I'm getting confused. Don't worry, just believe God. You don't have to believe Mr. So-and-so or Dr. So-and-so or Evangelist So-and-so. Just believe God, that's all. If they group you with somebody, let them throw you where you want to, but if they ask you why you're over there, just say, I believe God. That's why I'm over here. Vexed with temptations? Yeah. Trials dark on every hand, and I do not understand all the ways that God will lead me to that blessed promised land. But I'll follow till I die. And he'll guide me with his eye. And I'll understand it better by and by. I'll just keep trusting him. Was it songwriter said, I'll just keep trusting my Lord. He never fails. That's it. I believe him. Thank you.
We pray you have been blessed by the message you've just heard. The Sword of the Lord has many helpful materials available for purchase. To place an order, please call 1-800-251-4100. You may also visit us on the web at swordofthelord.com. Thank you for listening, and may God bless you.